Hello, it is good to be here in the house of the Lord. Amen. We've got a whole host of people that went to Guatemala, and I will honestly say this is the best team I've ever led, ever went on a mission trip with. They listened, they did what they needed to do, but they stepped in when they needed to step in, when there was ministry, when they were asked, when they were invited to do something, and when they saw a need. You know, it's amazing that they speak another language, but yet the language of love through the Holy Spirit translates to every language. Amen. Amen? So sometimes we were praying for somebody. We didn't know what we were praying for. We didn't know how to pray, but we were praying. As we began to pray, we just saw God begin to move. And so I just want to go ahead and let's play the video. And then after the video, Dana's going to come up and share. Well, let's go ahead and get these folks started.
My vision, my heart, the blood pressure was killing me. That the Lord may be blessed through their prayer. Now I feel better, thanks to God. There is no one else but my Jesus and God from the heaven. She said, okay, that's it. Thank you.
These are just some pictures that while we were there, some of that, this is a house we were in, some people we were ministering to. We just saw God do some mighty, mighty things. This is Mark and Robin's upper room here where we worshiped. And I tell you what, they do better than anybody I've ever seen about getting people engaged and allowing them to worship so the Holy Spirit can just flow freely. This is on the bus that we rode everywhere, and by the last day, I think we were all glad we didn't have to ride a bus. This is just ministry time and indicative of a lot of what we saw, God just moving miraculously among us in our midst, and then we went out. So not only do we minister to others, we get to minister to ourselves as the Lord leads through worship and prayer. This is Sukinai. This is outside the building they built there to enhance things. And these folks are waiting on clothes. And there are some of the clothes and some of our workers behind the table that keeps refilling them every time they come in and trying to straighten them, but they kept messing them up. These guys have walked all the way up the mountain, which is about quarter mile, half a mile, and now they're carrying the water down to where the ladies have to carry the water. They're delivering the water to some of the villagers. This is a lady that we prayed for and just saw God move in her life. And this is Dana helping a little boy try on some shoes.
Hey, okay, sorry. I made notes because I'm not good at this like he is. For me, the testimony of the things I saw and the things that just blessed me was, first of all, just our team. We had such a great team, like Derek said. Every time we asked any of our people to do anything, they stepped up and stepped out. They didn't shrink back. They might have said, I don't know, but they went on and they did it. And I've already told Kimberly and Matt, we just loved being with the 20s. And some of you parents, we're blessed to see them just be Christ to the people of Guatemala. So, and then a few stories that just really touched my heart. The first was the lady that gave the testimony. Her name was Celia. And it was a really hard kind of area that we were in there for ministry. We were with the adults and they were with the children. And they asked if there was anybody that had any need, any physical need. And she's the only one that raised her hand. So Mark kind of called her out at the end. And she said yes, that she had some problems with her sight. So that's where we started. We just started praying for her sight. And then she said, well, her knees hurt. So we started praying for her knees. And then she said, well, she had high blood pressure. So that was her testimony of Sharon. And then she actually got saved. So it was, definitely a whole makeover for her. So what a blessing. The next one was that little picture that you saw of that little boy with those feet and those dirty little feet. There's nothing like taking off their dirty shoes, their muddy, nasty shoes, and trying on a brand new pair of shoes for them. That just, I don't know who can do that and not weep over them. So it's very humbling because you think, if it was my grandson, I would just buy him a pair of shoes. This wouldn't be an issue. He wouldn't have to come to a clothes giveaway to try on a pair of shoes. So that was very humbling to me. And then the last thing was we went in a church one night, I can't remember, and we got to share at the end just doing prayer, but it was the children that just lined up and just wept. And one little girl just wept and wept and wept, and we just prayed over her because I didn't have a translator, and then come to find out her mom had just lost her brother. And then she wanted prayer for her sister because she was being disobedient. So, but then she, by the end of service, she just wanted to be in your arms and just loved on. So many sweet stories, but those were a few of my favorites.
Hello, I'm Lori. Hi. First, thank y'all for every one of you that contributed and helped us to go. It was just, it was an amazing trip. I went last year, and this year I got to share the experience with Mike. He got to go this year, so that was really great. As many things as we saw, the one thing that has come back to my mind just about every day, many times a day, and you saw a picture of it, was the water walk. And it didn't sound like that big a deal when they said, hey, do you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So what we had to do, we had you saw the container, and we walked, I think it was uphill both ways. It felt like it. But we walked down, and we went to this stream and gathered water, and then you walked it back, and the back part was uphill. And it was a little narrow, muddy, rocky, and it was about a mile round trip, and the container held about 3 gallons, so that's about 24 pounds. So carrying 24 pounds for close to a mile was, needless to say, was extremely hard. So we get back, and we're all yay proud of ourselves for what we did and everything, and then we split up and took it to a couple of houses. And you know, I was blessed by that. I was proud of it. But until I got home, it didn't really hit me when I get home and cut on my washing machine, brush my teeth, take a shower, run my dishwasher, that these people can't do that. And it was just a very humbling thing to know that they had to do that sometimes 3 times a day. And we had each other to help us, and a lot of times they were having to do this alone. So it just made me really thankful for everything, and it just makes me thank the Lord every day for everything I have.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike. First, I want to brag on Mark and Robin, the job they do with their ministry is phenomenal. The difference they are making in people's lives will just go on for generations. It's amazing. This is my first mission trip, and it was a lot of things. It was challenging, rewarding, heartwarming, heartbreaking, some of it. I'm going to tell you about a heartbreak. We did door-to-door ministry in Las Madrias, a little village close to Jalapa. And the first house we went to is just a mud hut, dirt floors, and they invited us in. It was a great-grandmother, a grandmother, a daughter, 2 grandkids. So the grandmother wanted us to pray for the grandson. He has leukemia, and he's 4 years old. And it was just heartbreaking. We all cried. There were 7 of us praying over him, praying for miraculous healing. And so I remember him every day now in my prayers, and I hope y'all do. And I look forward to going next year, and hopefully he's been healed. So thank y'all.
Hello. I'm Kayla, and when I was praying about what to share tonight, there were so many stories that came to my mind, but what stuck out the most to me was you go on these trips expecting to pour out, and you're thinking about all of those things, and we got there, and all of a sudden, all the receiving started coming in. Just like they said, Mark and Robin just pushed us in worship. We would get up there, and they would just say, you know, step out, find your comfort zone, and then step over it, you know. And so I'm pretty radical in worship. I feel like that's not a place that I really struggle to let go. But what I noticed was the hunger in the whole room was so strong. It was just like we would be worshiping and there would be nothing, you know, it was just a track playing on the speaker, and there was so many people pulling. It was like heaven just came down, and nobody said it's ministry time. All of a sudden, ministry would just break out, and we would pray for each other, and we would be just on our faces in worship, and there was just no fear of man or just all those boundaries and lines just seemed to be gone. And the things that I saw, the just even witnessing other people receiving was so beautiful that it just really marked me. And so what I wanted to share with you guys tonight is just made me think of when Pastor Eddie calls people down to the front, or, you know, the worship team is trying to get us to engage. That's not just to, it's not a performance. It's that your hunger in the room breaks down walls and barriers and pulls down heaven in a way that when we come into unity in that way without fear and without judgment, that the Lord can move in such extraordinary ways. And so I just felt like I was supposed to encourage you all to find your comfort zone in worship and just step on over it. Thank you, guys.
My name is Jan, and this trip was very humbling. My heart is just overflowing with joy. My heart is so full. There's, like Kayla said, so many experiences that I could share. The worship was so powerful in these churches. It's, you know, we think our worship is powerful here, but it's nothing like when you go to a church in a foreign country. I found myself weeping. I felt like Mary with the alabaster box, pouring my oil up on the feet of Jesus. My tears were hitting the floor just because Jesus, he is so worthy of our praise. That's the way he wants us to worship him here, like Kayla said. Just every church, I found myself just weeping as I was interceding to the Father on behalf of those people for the Holy Spirit to move in their lives. That's the way he wants us to worship here. He wants us to worship with that type of intercession, because he is so worthy of our praise. But, you know, as I was praying to the people, always just, the Lord just directs me to the people who I'm supposed to pray for. But I could feel their pain. I could feel their hurt. And even though most of the time I didn't have a translator, but I was praying in the Spirit, and those people would just begin to weep because our spirits match with theirs, and they know. And lots of times, I know I'm not a fluent speaker of Spanish, but I would find myself praying in Spanish for them, but so they would know the words that the Father was saying to them. And they would just begin weeping because they knew what the Lord was saying to them. And then sometimes later, a translator would come over, and I would tell him in English, and he would translate, you know, to them. But there was one young girl at the last church. I believe Anna Laura maybe had already prayed for her. But she came up to me, and the Lord wanted me to embrace her and just hug her. And I began praying in the Spirit over her. But later, my translator came afterwards. I wanted to make a picture with her. But Karen said she told her she had been waiting a long time for that hug. And I told Karen, I said, Karen, tell her what the Lord wanted me to do for her is like a mother loves a child. But most of all, the Father wanted to pour His love upon her. But the Lord wanted me to sing over her while I was embracing her, because she needed that love of the Father to be poured out upon her. But, you know, I think the most amazing thing for me, way before I even went on this mission trip, I had a dream. And it was about this trip. And the Lord, He fulfilled every part of the dream that I had up until the very last day of this trip. And it was about the glory of God. And the two little children that was in my dream, they were dressed in Guatemalan dress, and they was from Abner's church that we had been to. It was the pastor's two children that was in my dream. Beetles were in my dream. I saw those beetles on this trip. There was a frog in this trip. I don't remember who in our group saw that frog, but it was the night before we left for Antigua. I heard somebody say, there's a frog. I said, Lord, there's my frog. And the last church we went to was Iglesia Del Rey Gloria. That church was a glorious church, just exhibiting the glory of God in that church. And we were supposed to went to the volcanic pool. We didn't get to go to it, but in my dream, there was a pool that had the frog and the beetles in it. And it looked just like that pool we were supposed to went to. But, you know, God is such a God of confirmation that He gives to us. Such an awesome God. And I praise Him for allowing me to go on this trip and to show His power and His glory. Amen.
Hello. My name is Jennifer. And this was my first mission trip. There was a lot of praying that went into this. I actually came across a piece of paper when I was trying to decide, like, because they had told us you might get to speak to, you know, a group of adults or a group of kids. And I was like, Lord, what do you want me to tell these people? I came across the paper where I had written down some things that I was praying through. And that paper was all about stop settling. And it was also talking about comfort zones, like Kayla was talking about, like, stop getting comfortable in your walk with the Lord. Like, always be taking that next step in pursuit of what He has for you. So I got to share that. That was a first for me to share in front of a group. This is probably my second time to share in front of such a big group. I'm used to small groups. But anyways, the thing that stood out to me was just how the Holy Spirit will meet you when you take that step, when you push yourself in your boundaries, when you are faithful to open your mouth, He will fill it. I got to pray with a lady, and you've got, you know, the enemy's coming at you with all these what ifs. Like, I'd never prayed with someone with an interpreter, so I thought, what is that going to be like? Is that going to be hard? Well, it wasn't hard, but then the next time I didn't have an interpreter, I'm like, well, now what do? I don't have an interpreter. But Holy Spirit was there, and it was like the Lord said, I just want you to pray in English what you would as if they were understanding. So I prayed in English everything I felt like the Lord was saying. And the lady was, she was receiving so much. She was in tears. And all of a sudden, it was like Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks. And there was a familiarity to her cry. It was like, I knew she was crying for her children. I didn't know in the natural that she, if she even had kids. But I just felt like I was supposed to pray salvation for her kids. So that's what I started praying into. And a few minutes later, interpreter came over. And I said, can you ask her if there's any specifics, anything she wants me to pray about? So she asked, and the lady said, would you pray about the salvation of my kids? Pray for them to know Jesus. So I was like, oh, that's what I've been doing. I was just so excited. So the whole thing was the comfort zone. The very last day we were in Antigua, there was a shirt that said, faith begins at the end of your comfort zone. So I was like, that is my word. Buying the shirt. Last thing, as I got home and was just praying through all of the things on the trip, I came across these verses. It was in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, where Paul's talking about we didn't come with persuasive words or the wisdom of men, but in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I felt like that summed up our trip. Like it wasn't in our acts, our words. It was the Holy Spirit being there to meet us. So thank you.
Well, this was not our first trip. I don't know how many times I've been to Guatemala now. I've kind of lost count. It was wonderful to see Sukina, which is the village up in the mountains where there was nothing. I know the last time Mark was there, it was just sort of a kind of a mounded place, and he and Mark Sewell kind of got their heads together and talked about how to level it out and build building. And it is amazing what God has done in that place. And I was looking at the building. And, you know, it's not all about the building, but I'll tell you what the building about is about. It's about the people. The people come there, and they get hope. Above everything else that they need hope. And that was one thing I was really aware of on this trip, whether it was the boy with leukemia or the next house where the young mother, her husband had passed away, and they were living with the chickens in their house, if that's what you could call it. Above everything else, the thing that I found myself praying for over and over and over was that spirit of depression that comes with hopelessness. And we celebrated our 43rd anniversary while we were there. And I was speaking in a church on that day, and when I said that, it was like, you know, wow. We don't think of it as wow. But everybody said, pray for my family, pray for my family, pray for my family. And what they meant was, we're in crisis. I found myself telling the story almost every time or referring to it. Mark was an alcoholic, but that's been 40 years ago. I don't even think about that when I'm here. I mean, that's just so far removed from our lives. But Mark Sewell told me, he said 60% of the men are alcoholics and 30% of the women. That comes from hopelessness. It comes from hopelessness. So if anything that was my heart to impart while I was there was, he's a way maker. Even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. It's that hope. We have to have hope to get to faith. And that for me was, I just kept, God can do this. God will do this. Will you believe God? Will you stay? You know, many of the adults can't even read. So this has to be caught more than it is taught. But it was a good trip. We'll do it again.
Whew. 43 years is a long time to be married. I didn't want to get up here. My wife made me. Getting in front of all you Holy Ghost filled people makes you as nervous as a termite in a yo-yo. But back to the trip. One thing I'm remembering, we was in a church, and it's like down there like it is in Mexico, your doors church is always open, and the road is right beside it, the street. and the service was going on. I was just kind of walking around praying for people, and I let the interpreters, you know, do the young people, and I'm just walking around praying in the spirit or whatever. And I looked out, and there was a bicycle gang of boys about 14 years old out there. Three or four of them had bicycles, and two of them was younger. They didn't have bicycles. So I snuck out the doors and tried to get up on them, to roll up on them, and they all run and took off. I think they were scared of me. I don't know. They was all short and dark, and I was tall and white. I don't think they'd ever seen anybody that tall and white. And they run off with the bicycles, and I kind of chased them a little and come back, and they laughed, carried on. And the same thing happened a second time. I went out there, and they all took off laughing and carrying on. Third time, I had an interpreter out there with me. They all laughed and run off, and I started saying, come back, come back. And one of the young ones without a bicycle turned around and come back to me and the interpreter. And we told him about Jesus, and he said he wanted to know Jesus. And all the older boys, all his peer pressure was laughing at him over there. They was laughing. And I had her to ask, what do y'all think's going on here? And they said, God. And I said, do y'all want any of God? And they said, no. And that little boy says, I want Jesus. And he was the youngest one, and I know he looked up to them. And we prayed for him, and he accepted Jesus. And I looked out there about 30 feet, and there was another boy his same age. He didn't have a bicycle either. And he was just sitting there hungry watching everything we did. I just pray that our kids get rid of that peer pressure and just go after Jesus and want to know Jesus more and better. You know, when you're young like that, the peer pressure is a little harder. When you get older, you just don't care anymore. But y'all ain't making me this nervous. God makes me shake a lot of times. One other story. They was all praying for the adults, and I was just walking around again in the audience with the chairs full of girls, and they all had babies and stuff, and I just lay hands on them and pray. Then I got up on a thing there, and there was a old Indian woman. You could tell she didn't have no Spanish blood. She's just that old Indian Aztecs. You know, they're like 100 years old, and they got irrigation ditches in their face, you know. And when they cry, it just runs down them ditches, and they're just precious. But she was up there, I guess it was her grandchild or great-grandchild, probably less than 2 months old, and had it covered with blankets. And when I went up there to her and put my hand on her head, she reached down and completely uncovered that baby's head, signaling for me to lay my hands on that baby. So I had one hand on her and one hand on the baby, and I prayed. And then as I was walking off, she covered the baby back up. And that was just one of them moments there. I digress.
My name is Jana, and this is my first mission trip, and I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be able to go. And before I left, I heard people saying that it would be life-changing and to go to be ready to give and receive, and it was definitely life-changing, and I'm just so thankful for all that God did. The worship services at the mission base, God just poured out his spirit so powerfully on us, and then once we went out, being able to give clothing to the children, and you could tell they were just clinging to the clothes and just appreciating them so much, and seeing people healed, and so many that were led to pray the prayer to accept Jesus. And just one quick story, when we were going door-to-door ministry, there was a lady there that she was seemed to be struggling with the church she was going to and the beliefs there. And the interpreter was able to lead her in a prayer to accept Jesus. And then Miss Robin was able to give her counsel on a church that preaches God's word. And it's just, I appreciate all of y'all's support and prayers for us. God just did so much more than I could have imagined. And since I've got back, I just really felt the scripture of Philippians 1 and 6 about the work that God begins in us, that he's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm just thankful for what he's doing and continue to do until eternity. And I appreciate all of y'all and your love and support.
I'm Taryn. This is my first mission trip, as it was like several other people's as well. There's two things I want to share. One is more of the overall experience, and then one is more of like a personal thing that God shared with me on the trip. So with the overall, I think one of my favorite parts is the door-to-door ministry that several people have talked about. Everyone was just so welcoming. The homes we would go to, we would just kind of explain what we were doing, that we were missionaries who wanted to pray for them, and they would just be like, yes, please come in. Like, we want prayer for several things, and then they'd share their stories with us. And it was just really impactful getting to hear about their lives and then to pray with them and over them for their different situations. Then my more personal thing that happened was, as people have shared, we had worship several mornings. During the first time we had worship, we remember just like praying and sitting there, and I told God, I don't feel like enough. That's kind of something I've kind of struggled with throughout my life, just in different situations, not feeling like enough for things. And especially with this trip, being out of my comfort zone, I was feeling very insecure and like I didn't know what I was doing. So I said that to God. God, I don't feel like enough. And then probably not 30 minutes later, Mark Sewell came up to me, and he was like, you know you're on this trip for a reason, right? It's not an accident that you're here. And I was like, yeah, like, I get that. And then he said, you are enough. And I could tell. I could tell that it wasn't just Mark saying that to me, that it was God using Mark to speak to me. And then he also said, stop comparing yourself to others, which I had been doing that morning. So it's just like two things, bam, right there. And then a couple days later at worship again, Mark and Dana came up to me, and they said like along the same things, you're enough, you're a daughter of the King, you're here for a purpose, like you specifically with a special reason. So that was just really reaffirming, like I said, for someone to be out of my comfort zone, but then God to like directly tell me that no, like I am here for a reason. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Hey, my name is Dawson. This is my wife, Mary Grace. So for those of you who don't know, we feel called to full-time missions at some point in our life, and that's just really on our hearts. And one thing that my heart desires is to be really relational with people and really just dig into the making disciples. And so my favorite part when we go is always the relationships that I get to build with people. The team that Mark and Robin have there that live in Guatemala, so their interpreters, their staff, all of the above, they're really deep people, and it's really cool getting to build a relationship with them and get to know them even more. A few scenarios that I found myself in that week while we were gone, that I didn't go looking for anything, was just I found myself in a lot of scenarios where I was in conversation or even during morning worship, like some of the other group has mentioned. I found myself in a lot of scenarios where I was really able to minister to some of the people on Mark and Robin's team in Guatemala, and I was able to give them a word and encourage them. And something that the Lord had given me on the plane there was he led me to Psalm 23, where David is singing about the Lord being his shepherd and how we're led by still waters and green pastures and that his rod and his staff comfort and protect us. And I got to share that to several people on Mark and Robin's team, again, that live in Guatemala. And really encouraged them, and it was just what they needed to hear. And so it was really awesome. That's what ministered to my heart, was just getting to continue building that relationship with them and really let them know that we're not any more special than they are. Because I've noticed that a lot of times sometimes they feel like because we from the United States go there and that's when all the ministry kicks in sometimes, that they're just there as a side piece to help us, and they're not the main characters, per se. And it was really cool getting to lift them up and show them that, hey, you're equally as important. You're crowned with confidence by Jesus, and you're equally as anointed. The Holy Spirit is in you, and you're super important. So that was my favorite part and my takeaway from the trip.
So just personally with both of us, I had a couple words that just kind of confirmed some direction in my life, and then we each got some stuff for our marriage together, and it was just really cool as a whole to be able to minister together as a married couple. This is the first time that we've gone since being married, and so that was just really cool to experience. There were several times where we were both praying for someone, and Dawson was praying over them, and I kind of felt something to pray for, and then realized later that we had gotten the same thing. And so it's just really cool to experience that. But one story I just wanted to share from the last day of ministry, we were at a church on Sunday morning, and during worship, they had a worship team with some younger girls, probably 12 to 14, and the Lord just kind of highlighted this one girl in particular to me. I could just see some sadness and pain on her face, and I just couldn't shake it. And so during the altar call later, I went up to her and asked if there was anything I could pray for her, pray with her for, and she just started crying. And that just, like, broke me at that point. I could just feel her sadness and heartbreak, and it just broke my heart knowing that she was experiencing something like that. Come to find out that her younger brother was really sick, and her family didn't have the resources to take care of him. And that was just super sad, just knowing that that's how a lot of them live. So it was just really cool getting to pray for her and encourage her about some other things too. And just even I got, she just hugged me, and I was just able to love on her, and so that was just really cool.
Okay, well, I'm Tim, and wow, what a blessing to go. I got to meet some great folks, get to know people better that I didn't know, and serve with them. And we met a lot of precious people. I collected a lot of hugs from little old ladies that I didn't know. And praying for people, they were so open to it. So meeting this team, knowing them better, actually sitting in the back of the bus and listening to the 20-something banter going on was a lot of fun, too. I enjoyed that a lot. And then Mark, I just can't say enough of good things about what Mark and Robin do there. He immediately put us all at ease. He said, be yourself, love on people, and be willing to do what God asks you to do. And if you do that, everything will be great. And so we did that, and it turned out really good. One story I have is, again, doing house door-to-door ministry. There was a little lady, and she was sitting on the front steps and asked, can we pray for you? She said, sure. And immediately, there was a bunch of kids in the house playing video games. She said, hey, out here. So she's going to get the kids out there to be prayed for, too. She wasn't going to have them miss the prayer. And we prayed for her. And then before we left, our interpreter was doing a really good job. And she said, well, I want to pray for all of you. She was a prayer warrior in the neighborhood. So she gathered us all together and had the interpreter interpret what she was saying, praying over us. And at some point, the interpreter, which Natasha, who you saw in the video, she turned to looked at me and said, she's praying in the spirit. So Natasha didn't even know what she was saying at that point. She was praying in the spirit over us. So it was great. And I told her, I said, everybody needs a neighbor like you. So anyway, it was a really good trip and a blessing in a lot of different ways. Whether we were passing out food or carrying water or praying for folks, it's really a blessing to us. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Paige. I'm Tim's wife. That's why we're standing here. And I just agree with everything that he said so far. It's the same things I was going to say. But I also want to thank everybody who bought pies and cookies and hot chocolate bombs that I made to get to go, and because it was such a blessing to be there. And every minute of the trip was God-ordained, and he guided us in every step. And
there's so many stories all of us could tell, you know, but the ones that kind of stand out to me are during the worship times that were so, so good at the mission base. Then we would sit around and give testimonies about what had happened at the churches the night before. And so while we were going around and doing that, all of a sudden I felt like the Lord wanted me to share a testimony, because throughout the week, a verse that kept coming, I kept hearing people say it, I heard it in a song, and God was just really making that deep in my heart and real, was the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I've heard that before, but I didn't really know, you know, wasn't mine, you know. And all of a sudden, God made that real to me. And at that moment, in that sharing time, I felt like God said, tell this testimony. And I've got a lot I could share, but there was a specific one I felt like God was wanting me to share, because he was getting ready to do that when we went door to door that day. And it was that my parents got divorced when I was 10. It was a very ugly divorce. My mother stayed here. My dad ended up getting remarried, moved to Colorado. My sister moved to Colorado. We moved away because he was in the Army. We're all living in different places. Nobody close. Even though we loved each other. It was just, you know, and my parents would not speak, you know, we weren't even allowed to talk about the other one to the other one. Well, here it is, 45, 46 years later, and the last 5 years, God did a miracle in our family. We're all living here again. They're all coming to my house tomorrow for the 4th of July. And for my 50th birthday, that was a gift from God, because that was the day my daddy moved back. And we were all sitting around the table for my 50th birthday, and my mama and daddy were talking and laughing and talking about old stories about when I was little and about the cat before I was born, you know, that a neighbor had. And my mama gave my daddy a quilt that had been his great-grandmother's. They talked so much that they forgot to open my presents. So, but I was okay with that, because I had already gotten a present. And so I shared that, and I knew God was getting ready to do that for some people. So we went out to the walk, and there were about four teams of us, I think, four or five teams that did the house-to-house prayer. And the people on our team, there's always a theme, they said, usually. And the themes that I saw, well, we saw, it was teeth, and was it diabetes? And the other one was they either had sons or mostly husbands that were either gone. They had gone to America, and one was not sending any money home to them. And it was the house you were talking about, and with the three kids. That lady, we were about to leave, and that lady came up, and she on a motorcycle that somebody else was driving her, and we said, our interpreter, Natasha, said, do you need prayer? And she goes, no, I'm fine. And she turned to us and she goes, I see it in her eyes. She needs prayer. So she went back up to her and she said, you know, she started hugging her and she started whispering to her and talking to her. And then that girl started just crying and crying and crying. And Natasha was just hugging her and holding her. And then finally she turned and told us what she had said, and that her husband had said he was going to America and he was going to send her money and, you know, take care of him. And he's not doing what he said he was going to do. And so she said, now I don't have any money for our house. I don't have any money for anything. She said, there are some days we don't even get to eat. So we prayed for her, and along with the other people who were having similar family issues, with a husband wanting to kick her out, and he already had another woman, and just we kept seeing that in just almost every house, not quite every, but several. And so I spoke that that testimony to them. I said, God brought my family back together after, well, 5 years ago, so 40 years ago. If he can do that for me, he can do that for you, and he's going to. I know he will. And so I said, God is the God of the impossible. And I can tell you it was impossible, it looked like to me. But God did it, and God's going to do it for you. So that was a big thing that stood out to me. But it was all wonderful. And I loved this group. It made me so happy when I walked in, and I walked in front of them, and I'm like, oh, it's them. Because I just love being with every single one. And that's it.
All right, before you speak, Davis, I'm going to tell a funny story on Davis.
All right.
We were in a church, and it was Wednesday night, and I was preaching. No, I wasn't preaching. Melody was speaking. It might have been Thursday or Friday night. But Gabby comes to me, and she says, do you have somebody that would share a testimony? I said, sure, go over to Isabella and Taryn and Davis, and I see if they would share a testimony. So I see the stark terror on Isabella and Taryn's face, and I'm like, Davis makes eye contact. I said, she's coming to you. She's going to ask you to share. So I was kind of prepping him. Well, what did you think I said?
I just saw him mouthing something, and he was, like, pointing at me, and I was thinking, okay, he's picking me out. I am about to go up. There, I've been voluntold that I'm going up. And so... I'm just like, yeah, I can do it. I'm good with it. But yeah, I went up and shared a testimony. It was pretty funny. But I do want to thank everyone that helped with fundraising for the trip. Thank you so much. It was eye opening. I'll say that, just with seeing the way they live and just the characteristics that the people have down there, it was amazing. But I would say the part that's stuck with me the most, the times that we went to the churches in Guatemala, our church nights, we'd go there. Mark and Derek had shared just some small, sermons. But after that, we'd go up and pray for them. And it was eye-opening to me how accepting everyone was there. Here I am, a gringo that doesn't speak their language, and they are wanting to come up to me, hug on me, just they're talking to me with a smile on their face. I don't know what they're saying, but I can tell it's good. That just hit me, because it kind of showed where I am in my life, that I've kind of hardened myself towards other people, and just their openness to me, that right there is just a characteristic of God in their lives, and it just struck an chord with me that it's a place I'm lacking, and it's definitely been working on me, so yeah. It was a good trip. I got a lot of words from our team here. It's a good group of people that I went with. I'm happy with them. But yeah. Thank you.
Hello. So I'm Anna Laura, me and my kids, this is Charlie and Audrey. We went with the team and had such an amazing trip. The kids did not want to come home. they can't wait to go back, and me too. We definitely will be back. So some of the highlights for me was definitely the hike to get the water, like with Lori. It was so impactful to get to do that. It was a lot harder than we anticipated, and I'm so glad I didn't know what it was going to be like, and just to get to experience what they have to do multiple times a day. And when we finally did make it to the one house that I think it was four or five of us poured all of our water into these 2 5-gallon buckets, the water was still pretty cloudy. I think I was just so shocked to see that it still wasn't very clean, you know, and this is what they survive on and have to make the trip multiple times a day. So that was in Sukinai, and then that afternoon after we did the hike, we did the clothes giveaway, and just to see these, I think we had about 500 people come stand in the rain for hours to get 4 articles of clothing per person and their family. That is gut-wrenching. Honestly, all of the ministry, just when I think about it, it'll break your heart. And it's something that pictures and even just hearing about it until you can go, it will change your life. And just to tag on to what Davis said, I think that's one of my biggest takeaways just from the people is how much they want to be loved on. Everyone invited us into their home. Everybody that we visited wanted prayer. The kindness in that culture was just so touching and surprising, I guess. They wanted hugs, and we're used to hugging each other that we know, but not complete strangers, you know, and so that was just very moving and impactful. I think, lastly, that I'll share, I knew I would be impacted, and I was super grateful to share this experience with them and just to be on their first mission trip and see how God impacted them. That tops everything for me, for sure, and just the spiritual refreshing that I received in my own life. Like I said, I knew it would be an amazing trip, but I could not have imagined what the Lord did in my heart and in my life, and I will be forever grateful, so thankful for those who helped us be able to go, and I really felt like I was supposed to share, if you can go to Guatemala, you need to go. You need to find a way. I was worried about finances, and the Lord took care of that. He took care of everything we needed, and if you can't go, please help somebody else go. It will change their life. I think these are the things that help shape this younger generation to be able to see what they don't get to see here. And so that is my encouragement and challenge for those of you to just make a way to go if you can. So both of them are going to share. I don't know who wants to go first. Okay, I'll let you go.
Hey, I'm Charlie. I'm 10 years old. I've been wanting to go on this trip since 2020. And something that stuck out to me was how open they were. Like, they just wanted to get prayed for. They wanted to get loved on. They wanted hugs. And that just stuck out to me. They're like, it's just so different. So different. Oh, yeah. And I like the children's events. They played games, and we helped out and gave them candy. It was fun.
Hi, my name is Audrey, and I'm 13 years old. This was my first mission trip to Guatemala this summer. And I've wanted to go probably since I was 8 years old. So I was very thankful to come this summer. It was an absolutely amazing trip. And we saw many people that we prayed for get healed or saved. And it was a very eye-opening experience just to see how they live there. And I don't think I'm ever going to really view things the same way that I did before. God has used this experience to change my life forever. And I pray that God uses me to change the lives of other people.
God's in the business of changing lives. And the same God that's there that healed, we saw blind people healed, we saw people begin to see that couldn't see, we saw miracles. And we expected miracles. We expected God to move. But as you've heard from every person on this team, what we didn't expect was what God was going to do in us. You know what? She says, go. You said, I don't know what I would do. I don't know how to minister. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. Can you hand out candy to children? Can you catch a ball when they're shooting it and hand out candy? Can you smile at a child? Can you give a hug? You see, all God wants is our willingness to go. He just needs willing vessels to be able to go. I wasn't exaggerating, and I wasn't pumping this team up when I said, this is the best team I've ever led. This is the best team I've ever been a part of on a mission trip. But it was because God showed up from the very beginning. And it's because Mark and Robin pushed us to get out of our comfort zone. I'm going to share a few things with you. One thing God showed me is that warfare is a weapon. Warfare, or praise is warfare, and worship is a weapon. I said that wrong. But I've always thought that, but I've never understood it in the light that I understood it during this trip. As we were in that upper room, and as we begin to worship, as we begin to abandon ourselves, as David did, and said, we don't care what anybody says or sees or does. And God began to move, and God said, I'm preparing these and moving the roadblocks out of their life for what I'm going to do out there. And just like those water jugs that we carried or they carried, I didn't go on that. You got to keep in mind, this is over a mile high. So your deprivation of breathing and some of that stuff is difficult. But just like they poured them out, we poured ourselves out that week. Mark said, leave nothing on the table, no regrets. And these guys poured themselves out every day when they were tired and when they were, you know, maybe you're feeling the grind and somebody's like, man, I just want to take a nap, and you're hitting all the roads and the curves. You're not going to sleep on the bus. You're not. You got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get there, or 3 o'clock in the morning. God honors the going when you say yes. He will change and transform your life. It was a Wednesday night, and I went to this church, and the team was about 14, 15. By the time you count translators and 11 or 12 people along with your team, you've got about 14, 15 people. We walk in, and there's more of us than there are the church people. There's 8 or 9, and I'm thinking, man, I thought there might be a few more, but God, whatever you want to do, it's no, numbers never meant anything to me. And we begin to worship, and as we begin to worship, people begin to come and work there, and there's 20, 25, and get up and give the word, and at the end, as we begin to minister, we just all line up, and we're going to do this right here in a minute. We're going to line up, and we're just going to ask you to come. Whatever it is, God's speaking to you or is on your heart. You have a need. We want you to come. We don't care what it is. God doesn't care what it is. God cares about you. and he cares about you just taking that step out. Here in America, we often just sit with our problems. You know, when Pharaoh called for Moses and he said, you know, when do you want to get rid of the frogs? Pharaoh's tired of the frogs. He said, tomorrow. I've always marveled at that. And I said, why not right now? Right now. I want them gone now. So the things in your life that you need God to touch, right now. Right now's the time. This team walked into an anointing of God because they said yes. And I believe they're still carrying that anointing, not just because they were in Guatemala, but because they're still serving the same God. He's the same God here as he is there. I told them that. That night I was preaching. We got done. A young couple came forward, and I began to pray for them, and I had an interpreter. I said, what do they need? They said, we have been together, and we're struggling, and we don't have peace, and we want peace. I said, ask them if they know Jesus Christ. They didn't know Christ. I told them, the interpreter, I said, this is not a two-way thing for me to try to tell you what to say. You know what to say. You lead them to Christ. They led them to Christ, and you could tell that there was a new joy. But there were still some things hanging there that the Lord just wouldn't let me walk away. And so I begin to pray in the Spirit, and I begin to pray over them, and I begin to speak things as God gave them to me. And I could see he's kind of got a different disposition. There's still something here in her that there's a fear. And I told my interpreter, I said, I think you need to pray for her. I said, I'm going to pray for him. And you pray for her. I was praying and I was praying and I was praying. And I was like, God, there is nothing happening. There's a wall here that I don't know how to get through. What do you want to do, God? Because this is not the end of what they want, what they came here for tonight. This is just the beginning. And the Lord said, hug him. I put my arms around him and I gave him a father's hug. And the moment I did, I began to weep. I began to weep out loud and he began to weep. Like we were the only two people in that room. When the interpreter came back, I said, tell him the father loves him, and that hug was from the father. They went away changed that night. Got them with a leader in the church. I said, get their number. They'd never been there before. They had never been to this church. They walked in off the street. As Mark says, the doors are open. You can just minister there. Sunday morning, I'm asked to preach and speak, and I've got a word from the Lord, but in the middle of it, the church we was at, I've been there before. I've been to this church before. It's House of Praise. And Pastor Cesar and his wife, and I can't pronounce her name very well, but I knew them. And the Lord just kept them the whole time saying, pray for the pastor, pray for the pastor's wife. There was a worship leader there who was very dynamic and very filled with the Spirit. And God began to move in worship. God moved so powerfully when I got up to speak, I couldn't speak. And I thought, God, I would just shut this down right here and let's pray for people. But I'm in somebody else's house and I don't know, I speak their language and I don't know how to go there. And Robin says she thought the same thing. I said, well, Robin, if you felt it, you come tell me, we'd be good. But I began to preach. And as I began to preach, God began to move in the preaching and in the word. Because I said, God, don't let me step in your way. If you want to go now, let's do it now. I don't have to preach. But I had people come to me later at a different venue and say, what you spoke was exactly what we needed. I told them the same God that's here is the same God that's there. And the power of the living God is in this house for you to be set free tonight, for you to be healed tonight. The power of the living God is loving on you right now in the midst of these circumstances and situations that you're going through. I'm going to tell you the same thing. As our team comes forth, as our worship team comes to play something, I want all you guys, just like you did in Guatemala, to line up along this altar right here. And I want you to stand with me tonight. And Father, we just declare and decree that you are the same God, that you are a miracle-working God, that you are a way-maker God. There is faith in this house, Lord. Tonight there is belief in this house that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that nothing comes against you. Nothing, Lord, can stand when you're moving in our midst. And Father, tonight I just thank you that you are more than enough. So as these guys pray, I'm going to stop talking, and I just want you to begin to come forward. Don't sit there. Don't sit there. Don't sit there. Let God do whatever he wants. Amen. Come forward.
I love your presence. doing here tonight and what he accomplished in Guatemala. God bless this team. We don't want to interfere with what the Lord's doing up here. But thank you all for being here this evening. This altar remains open. And let's remember to pray for our nation tomorrow as we celebrate our nation's birthday. And I hope that you, your friends, your family have a wonderful, wonderful day tomorrow. And let's meet back this coming Lord's Day with expectancy in our heart. And there might just be someone you know that doesn't know the Lord, or maybe they do and they're not plugged in anywhere. Encourage them to come with you. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.